Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, if you're tired of hassling friends and family for Fantasy League entry fees, try TeamStake.com. TeamStake provides fantasy sports leagues with a fully customizable payment collection and payout distribution system at no charge. They've got safe and secure transactions, and again, it is completely free to use. Try TeamStake.com. All right, let's talk some football. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast with Mike Tagliere, and I'm Bobby Sylvester. We're on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, how's it going, man?
It's good. It's good. I'm glad we're done with week three of the preseason, and we can look forward to the season that's upon us. We only have one more week of preseason. It's going to be, you know, a bunch of backups playing for their roster spots, and that's fine. But we actually get to start looking into week one, and I'm starting to do a little bit of week one research once I wrap up a few more player profiles. But man, I am so ready. I know it's a busy time of the year, and our guest on the show today is going to tell you that too. But it's also a time where it's like it's exciting because, you know, we've been talking about a lot of the same stats and players for so long that we can't wait to get new information and pass it along to you guys.
I'm so pumped. I'm just pumped for the competition, right? I mean, fantasy football competition is a lot different than, you know, I go out and play sports every week, and I'm just looking forward to the fantasy football competition.
Yeah, no, the competition's cool. Like, for me, it's all about getting advice out to the listeners, the readers. Like, I've become, somewhere along the line, I told people that I became an advice giver first and a player second. And I know some people are like, oh man, that stinks. But honestly, like, I really do enjoy writing about every single player and kind of taking the emotion out of it. Because if you're a player first, your emotion on players will come into your writing. And that's the last thing that I want to do.
And the accuracy expert competition is always a lot of fun. And one of the guys who did really well in that, in fact, all three of the guys from the Fantasy Footballers podcast did really well, is our guest today, Mike Wright. He can be found on Twitter at FFHitman. And Mike is now verified. Mike, how does it feel to be world famous, dude?
Well, honestly, I thought about not coming on this show anymore because I am above it. I am above the law.
Great. Bobby, I don't know if you saw the interaction between Mike and I on Twitter when that happened. And I said, oh, no, now we're the unverified Mike and Mike show. And his response was, new phone, who dis?
That's so good, man. How did you get verified? They're not even accepting verification, you know, anymore. Are you just that famous? They're like, wow, how did this guy not get verified? We got
to
do it.
No, I'm sure it had something to do with that 2/3 of the hosts on my show were already verified. And I mean, we're out there moving and shaking. We did a full live tour of the country with 5 shows this year, which of live taping of the podcast. And along with that comes a manager and publicists and all that stuff. So I think we finally had someone who had the right back channel to actually get me verified. And the show page finally got verified too.
Wow. I can't believe it took that long. It is well-deserved. You guys just kill it every single time.
Thank you.
I was talking to Tags about it, and you guys do an awesome job, man.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
So some of you guys have already done your drafts, and if that's the case, we've got a really cool tool for you to upload your teams to for free. It's My Playbook, and it's going to grade all the teams in your league, give you all kinds of cool tools from Start Sit Assistant to Waiver Wire Assistant that you can use each week. Just kind of like helps you get organized and get all the information in one place. And the only reason I'm telling you about this is in case you haven't seen it, it's going to help you a ton this year, right, Tags?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And if you haven't already done your drafts, check out the Draft Assistant. It's something you can live sync with your draft. So, you know, if you've used the mock drafts on Draft Wizard, it's like you get all that information as you're drafting and it shows your draft picks as it's happening. So just want to let you all know about those tools. You can go to the Fantasy Pros homepage, click on Draft Assistant right there under Fantasy Tools. And if you want to find My Playbook, go to the NFL dropdown and click on My Playbook. It takes like 5 seconds to upload. Then you've got everything going on. I also want to mention that we still have our signed David Johnson jersey giveaway going on right now, thanks to the great people at pristineauction.com. Entering is very simple. All you have to do is go to fantasypros.com/contest. It takes about 30 seconds to enter. So guys, we do have some news to talk about here, and obviously some preseason takeaways as well, but here's what we have planned for today's show later on, is we're going to talk about league winners. So each of us have 4 or 5 guys we're going to talk about. We're just going to go in a circle. We're actually all across the country, so not really in a circle, but like a round table format where we're sharing, you know, one guy, and then we give our takes on what we think.
It's a big circle.
Yeah, it's a very big circle. So, Tags, what news do you want to talk about first here, man? Marquise Lee?
Yeah, the Marquise Lee injury news is the biggest one. Obviously, that's going to affect – it's going to have, like, an effect down the depth chart. So we kind of have to talk about that. And so Marquise Lee, if you guys haven't heard, he is out for the season. He tore an ACL. He had multiple ligament tears. It's kind of like Cameron Meredith suffered last year. So it's going to be a long recovery for Marquise Lee. But obviously, this has its effect down the depth chart. And Bobby's guy, Keelan Cole, is now forcing his way up into my rankings. He's now inside my top 50 wide receivers. But what does this do for the other guys, though? I mean, do we really want to say that Keelan Cole is going to be an every week fantasy option on a run first team that has an elite defense? I'm not willing to do that. And that's why I've kept him as my wide receiver 45 right now. I'm not saying that he's not going to have usable weeks. I do believe he will. But, you know, further down the road, do you guys think that Dante Moncrief, D.D. Westbrook, I mean, D.J. Chark, do you think any of these guys are going to have any fantasy viability week to week? Or is it just going to be more like a situation where you kind of have to play it? If you have a bye week, you might want to toss one of these guys in there. Mike, how are you feeling about this whole situation? Is there any of these Jaguars receivers that you're going to roster?
Keelan Cole has jumped up to my wide receiver 30.
Ooh, baby.
So he becomes a very usable guy as a flex wide receiver. He showed enough. Keelan Cole's offseason is one of the stranger tales of 2018, where he was, speaking of league winners, Keelan Cole was free. Keelan Cole was free in dynasty leagues. You were able to scoop him up, and he strung along just big performance after big performance. And part of just, he earned the trust of Blake Bortles. He showed he could have just huge plays from out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden they give Dante Moncrief $10 million guaranteed. And they gave Marquise Lee a whole bunch of money. And D.D. Westbrook is coming off of his rookie year where he lost half of it to injury. And it seemed like, okay, now Keelan Cole's back to being the fourth wide receiver on this Jaguars depth chart. And then the reports out of camp were like, oh, well, now Keelan Cole is clearly the guy. Like, what are you talking about? How did this happen? And then the Marquise Lee injury really forces the issue where my top two guys, when they're playing too wide, it's going to be Keelan Cole, Dante Moncrief in my projections. But I think that Keelan Cole has earned the respect of the team, of the quarterback, and will be a decently useful fantasy wide receiver. And the fact that he can give you those huge plays, what he averaged like, what, 17 or 18 yards per catch? I mean, it was...
He's a big air yards guy, yeah.
Yes, exactly. A big air yards guy. And those, someone who he will skyrocket up ADP for sure. But over the weekend, people were able, if you were plugged into the news, you were able to grab Keelan Cole in the 13th, 14th round.
I have 1,000% shares of Keelan Cole this year. So, I mean, I'm a Jags fan, so obviously I'm bummed that Marquise Lee's hurt. But this is, it's good for Cole's stock. Obviously, his ADP is going to go up maybe to the point where I'm not willing to draft him, because I was getting him around wide receiver 55, 60. And I had him as a top 45 wide receiver before this. Now I've got him as wide receiver 38. I mean, I've shared the stats before, and if you haven't listened, Keelan Cole was the number two fantasy receiver from the time he entered the starting lineup over five games. Yeah, it's a small sample size. Yeah, he's not going to do it every week. He's not that type of wide receiver, but he's got some serious upside. Somebody asked me, though, like, does this help Keelan Cole a ton more? Like, how much did he move up your rankings? Like I said, not very much, because he's not that possession receiver. I think he's going to continue to get the deep balls, kind of like Mike Wallace, when Mike Wallace was a lot better. Maybe finish around as the wide receiver 30, but not really be someone you can rely on week to week. I think if you're looking for that guy, Dante Moncrief is a touchdown hog. I think D.D. Westbrook's going to lead this team in receptions. I don't think he's really fantasy relevant, though, because it's not a very good passing offense.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly, man. And so, by the way, I just want to make a comment on Keelan Cole real quick. So the two biggest weeks of the season that he had was against Houston, 186 yards and a touchdown, and against San Francisco, 108 yards, no touchdown. Those were two games where Marquise Lee was out of the lineup. Those are obviously two of the worst secondaries in the league last year. Outside of the games that when Marquise Lee played the entire game, Keelan Cole never totaled more than 64 yards. So obviously, like, Marquise Lee was the number one, and that's why I was drafting him as, like, right around that wide receiver 40 mark. So with him out of the lineup, it definitely increases my want to draft Keelan Cole, because I just don't think Dante Moncrief is a difference maker. D.D. Westbrook had some opportunities last year. He wasn't breaking many big plays. DJ Chark, he's a rookie. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of mess. But again, where he's going to move in drafts, I am not going to own any of him, because I know he's going to go in front of guys like Devontae Parker, and I would rather have Parker. I'm still sticking with that.
Devontae?
Yes, I would rather have Devontae Parker than Keelan Cole.
Me too. I've got Devontae Parker way ahead of Keelan Cole, actually.
I would rather be performing the most important speech of my life and just vomit all over myself than roster Devontae Parker.
Oh, no. So wait, hold on. So hold on a second. So there's plenty of targets to go around in Miami. Why run from Devontae Parker? Do you just not think he's very talented?
Correct. He is. I think I've seen enough of Devontae Parker to concede that he is just not good at football. I think the broken finger gives the Dolphins every excuse they need to bump Albert Wilson up into that starting lineup, take over Devontae Parker's spot, because Parker's not beating out Kenny Stills. Kenny Stills is the number one on that Miami team. Just a quick point. I love how fantasy just tilts us for numbers, because you brought up the 64 yards. You're like, okay, well, maybe that's not getting it done. 64 yards a game is over 1,000 yards on the season, and we're like, nah, I'm not very interested in that.
Well, that was his ceiling, to be honest, though, like while he was in the lineup.
It's just funny how we're like, what, 50 yards? That stinks. Oh, that's 1,000 yards? Oh. And somehow, like, 50 is bad, but 1,000 at the end of the season, that's a great year.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. I don't know. Devontae Parker, when he's been with Ryan Tannehill over his last 16 games, has been a top 25 wide receiver. Now, it wasn't exciting, and he's been a disappointment.
Volume. His volume will not be there.
Okay.
That's the question. I just don't think there's anybody else in this roster that could handle 120 targets.
Jarvis is gone. Those targets are going somewhere, and I think Parker, when he gets healthy, obviously he can't catch the ball right now. But
yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, when he gets healthy, I'm taking him over Kenny Stills.
Oh, I thought you were saying when he's healthy, he cannot catch the ball.
Don't even start. Let's move on.
Okay, there was one other piece I want to talk about. It's Josh Gordon. He's not going to be starting week one. Now, Mike, do you think this is when I say Mike, I'm talking about our guest Mike, not Tags. Do you think that this is going to linger? Like, is Josh Gordon not ready? Is there something wrong with him emotionally, mentally? Or is this just like, hey, he's not going to play the first game, but he's actually our, you know, top wide receiver?
Well, they had the whole quote, as long as I am remembering correctly, it said he will not start, but he will play. So this is merely, to me, we were talking about it in the footballers' headquarters. Is this just, okay, he doesn't get the ceremonial start? It was, you weren't here for training camp, the guys who busted their butt all off season, and we're here. They will get the start, and then we'll go, we should probably get our best wide receiver on the field. And that's not a disrespect to Jarvis Landry. That's how good Josh Gordon can be. I don't see Hugh Jackson keeping him out for that long. Maybe the first drive he keeps Josh Gordon off the field, but I think after that it'll be full bore to Josh Gordon. Look at what happened last year when Gordon had, you know, essentially screwed over the team, got suspended again, and then he comes back to this huge target share his very first game. So Hugh Jackson loves Josh Gordon. I think that's clear from his usage, from the behind-the-scenes looks we're getting at Hugh Jackson in Hard Knocks when there was that clip of Hugh talking to Todd Haley of just looked giddy of essentially saying, the Eagle has landed because Josh Gordon's airplane was in town. I mean, the dude loves Gordon, and Gordon's going to get used. You might want to bench him for fantasy for the first game just because you aren't 100% positive what is happening. But after that, it's Josh Gordon time.
What is his real ceiling, Mike? Could he actually be a top five wide receiver still?
A top five? Yeah, I'll say yes. I think he can, simply because of Tyrod Taylor.
You said it right, by the way. That's really impressive.
Hey, man, you got to make the switch. You got to pronounce the names right. You got to go a long time ago. You got to jump in the time machine. But there was a year when Sammy Watkins was actually healthy and actually productive and mind-melded with Tyrod Taylor and was absolutely dominant the second half. So if somehow that happens over a full year, Josh Gordon is easily a top five, and I think that's within the realm of possibilities. I'm not calling for that at all. I have Gordon as that fringe 2-3 type of guy. But when you draft him, you know what the upside is, and it's a league-winning type of wide receiver.
So, Tags, when you're drafting today, would you rather have Josh Gordon or someone like Golden Tate, Sammy Watkins, Jarvis Landry, Corey Davis?
Josh Gordon.
Whoa, over Jarvis?
I would take Josh Gordon over Jarvis because Jarvis isn't going to score more than 5 or 6 touchdowns. Like, he's not a red zone guy. David Njoku and Josh Gordon are going to be those two. In a PPR format, you can make the case for Jarvis, I guess.
Oh, definitely Jarvis in PPR.
But... Well, but the thing is like, here's the thing. And I'm glad that we're talking about Josh Gordon because, by the way, he's going to be one of my league winners. So we might as well just have this conversation now.
Yes.
You know, so basically where he's being drafted, where Mike said that low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3 category, when you're drafting players in that range, it's very rare that you could find a guy that has the ceiling that Josh Gordon does. I'm going to ask you guys a question to see if you guys remember. When he had his 1,646-yard season, 9 touchdowns, do you guys remember who his quarterbacks were that year?
Oh, I remember. Let's see if I can get them all.
There's 3 of them.
So you had Jason Campbell.
That's 1.
Brandon Whedon.
That's 2.
Oh, crap. Who was...
This is incredible, by the way.
Was it Hoyer?
It was Brian Hoyer. Yeah.
Yeah!
You are so good, Mike. Wow.
Yeah, it's fantastic. What's funny is, like, I was working on an article actually in regards to the league winners. It's going to be coming out later this week, and I put this stat in there. And basically, people don't understand what Josh Gordon did with crap quarterbacks, essentially. Like, these guys legitimately don't have a place in the NFL. They're career backups. Some of them don't even belong in the league. Whedon and Campbell, you could make the case that they shouldn't even be in the league. Brian Hoyer is a fine backup. But Brian Hoyer, there weren't even many passes he got. I think there were 2 games he played that year.
Yeah, it was mostly Whedon, if I remember.
Well, Campbell and Whedon made up for the majority of the attempts that year. And to know that Josh Gordon was doing that on a bad football team with legitimately no other threats on the roster, it was special. So to know, like, Josh Gordon, now people are like, well, Mike, that was back in, you know, 2013. You know, how good can he really be now? I mean, if you look at him, he's still in great shape. He's still a really young kid. That's the thing is, like, now he's no longer, you know, doing the drugs while playing. Like, we don't know if he was on drugs while he was playing during that time. We don't know if it helped, if it hurt.
He said he was drunk every game, wasn't he? Imagine doing that and then going out there and actually playing football clean. How good can he be?
And then we even saw him last year, even when he came in last year with DeShone Kizer. Like, he had a few good games in there. He dominated Casey Hayward, and Casey Hayward is one of the best corners in the NFL. So I have faith in Josh Gordon. The quarterback situation is the best it's ever been for him. No matter if it's Taylor or Mayfield, doesn't matter. I like them both. So Josh Gordon is a potential league winner, and where he's being drafted, the reward is worth the risk.
I don't know, man. I just don't know. I don't think Taylor's going to throw the ball enough for Gordon to have a huge season. But then again, when you guys talk about those quarterbacks, it's like, well, I guess he can do whatever he wants. Have Tim Tebow throwing him the football. Maybe.
And remember, when Sammy Watkins was healthy with Tyrod Taylor, he performed like a wide receiver 1. And if you go to look at Todd Haley's offense, Josh Gordon is going to perform like the Antonio Brown. That's who he's going to be in the offense. So I'm all aboard Josh Gordon. Like, if you can get him as around the 20th wide receiver off the board, that's where I'd feel comfortable taking him, because I'm not playing to win second place. I'm playing to win, and Josh Gordon can help you do that.
I mean, it's not like he's going to be horrible either. I mean, obviously, if he was to get suspended or stop playing football again, that would be different. But if he's on the field, it's not like he has some low floor. All right. Mike, why don't we move on? And what would you consider to be a league winner? Like last year, I made a list of five guys who did it. Todd Gurley, Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara. You remember those guys were drafted third round, fifth round. Kamara wasn't even drafted in a lot of spots.
A league winner is just is someone who can come in and give you just a majority of your weeks are big weeks. You're scoring as a one at the position. You come in and you single-handedly win a week by yourself, like a la Todd Gurley did in the playoffs, where people could have benched the rest of their team and still had a chance to win with just what Todd Gurley was doing. So that's how I look at it.
It can't really be like Le'Veon Bell, though, because you're spending a second overall pick on him, and that's what you're expecting.
He still can be, though. I think it's okay for those guys to be. It's like David Johnson.
Good point, yes. You score 20 touchdowns, you're a league winner no matter where you're drafted.
He was a top five pick. It was which running back do you want, and David Johnson was the one who really hit out of that group that year.
Yeah, we also had DeAndre Hopkins. Keenan Allen came on really strong at the end of the year. Adam Thielen, I don't know if he's really a league winner, but he was so good that if you got him off the waiver wire or drafted him super late, like you were probably in the playoffs unless you screwed up the rest of your team. So
I would say where people would not call him the league winner is because during the playoffs he kind of
good point
fell apart. So people are going to be pissed even though he was the reason they made it to the playoffs.
Okay, so who would your first guy be then, Mike?
All right, my first league winner, which this guy he's been a league winner before, and I think that the situation is just shaping up perfectly for him. And I was saying all this, I don't usually target this guy because his price...
Tim Hightower.
What?
Tim Hightower.
Yeah. Oh, Tim Hightower was talking about a league winner, man,
know,
that year
man.
With the Saints. But I don't usually draft this player because his price is usually outrageous, and I want nothing to do with it because he's a onesie position. But Rob Gronkowski, very strongly, is going to win people their league this year. You have the Patriots are just hemorrhaging wide receivers right now through the first 4 weeks of the season. We got Chris Hogan, who I love, but then you got Philip Dorsett. Okay, who's the third wide receiver? Is it Cordero? Is it Cordero Patterson?
I think it's Rex Burkhead if he's healthy.
There is a situation going on at the wide receiver position, and things are set up just beautiful for Gronk to, if he can play the 16 games, that's also another huge thing for Gronk. Are you going to get 16? But I'm talking about the league-winning type of performance like 2011, where in a half-point scoring format, Rob Gronkowski had 286 points. For context, for people out there listening in Radioland, that would have made him the wide receiver one. That would have made him the running back three with
what?
That type of performance. Because the dude came through with 1,300 yards and 17 touchdowns. And like we just said, who is going to catch the touchdowns? It's going to be Chris Hogan, and it's going to be Gronk.
James White. Yeah, but yeah, Gronk.
How many for James White? I mean, five would be a massive year.
Would you bet on Gronk? Not obviously over the field, but if you had to pick one person to lead the league in touchdowns for wide receivers or tight ends, it would probably be Gronk this year, right?
Yes. Yeah, it would 100% be Gronk for me.
So, Mike, I just want to say that you and I are in sync. I don't know if it's because we have the same name, but I mean, the verified thing only changed Devontae Parker in your mind, as far as I'm concerned. But no, I kid you not. I was working on this article before we started recording. This is my line that I have written here. Seriously, his 1,327 yard, 17 touchdown season would have crushed DeAndre Hopkins' 2017 output by nearly 30 fantasy points in standard leagues. With all the missing options, Gronk is going to be relied upon. I think you said everything that I wanted to say about Gronk. Gronk was on my list. He'll continue to be on my list. It's really tough. Like, Mike, are you with me, though, in the fact that, like, when you get to the end of the second round and you're staring at guys like Jordan Howard or Rob Gronkowski, it's sometimes tough to pull the trigger on Gronk because you know if you take a tight end, it's going to put you behind the eight ball on either running back or wide receiver. So when do you feel comfortable taking Gronk?
I actually have I've been doing this on draft with all my best ball leagues. If I am anywhere in the first half of the second round, so saying I have, you know, what, pick seven. Yeah, if I have the 107, that's the only area where I don't take Gronk, generally speaking, because those elite players coming on the turn, That's where I can't pass up. So if I'm in the second half of the second round at all, then Gronk has been an auto pick for me.
I've got like a top tier, obviously not exactly a top tier, but I've got 18 guys, and then after that, a pretty big drop off. So I've got Gronk as my number 19. I'd be fine with him at the end of the second round, but like, would you take him over someone like Kareem Hunt, AJ Green, Keenan Allen if they fell, Christian McCaffrey?
No, because those are all guys that in my mind are going either at the back of the first or that the beginning of that second round. So I'm not going to pass on those guys. But Howard, he's going to be right on that fringe. I love Howard, but I just feel so compelled that Gronkowski is going to win leagues. Or win. If he doesn't win your league, he's going to win you so many weeks that it will be worth the investment of the second round.
Here's what's happened in Gronk's career when he's been healthy. 16 games in 2011, he was the number 6 overall VBD player. Okay, 2014, he played 15 games, number 11 overall. 2015, he played 15 games, 9 overall. 2017, he only played 14 games, 11 overall. So 4 of the past 7 years, he has been a top 12 overall VBD player. He's being drafted in the late second, early third round.
This is the latest he's ever gone.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense.
The risk is still the same. It hasn't changed at all.
Right. And it's usually, okay, Gronk smash, number 1 overall, he jumps up in the ADP. But this is the latest I have ever seen him go. I checked back, looking at what Fantasy Football Calculator and their historical data. This is the lowest he's gone that I can find, which makes no sense considering what is happening to the Patriots skill players.
Man, I remember drafting him 7th overall back in the day and feeling happy about it. There's no difference. None whatsoever.
Right.
That's really good. Guys, I'm going to give my first one here in just a second. First, though, if you haven't already, you can submit an entry to join myself in the Listener League. Tags already did his draft. We're doing it on Sleeper app because it's just such an easy site to use. You can set up a dynasty draft really easily. You can do a redraft league, all kinds of custom settings. They've even got stuff like you can customize your playoffs or do 3-team trades. If you want to enter the Listener League, go to fantasypros.com/listener league, and we're going to be choosing here shortly, so make sure to get your entry in soon. All right, guys, my first guy is Joe Mixon, and this is kind of ridiculous.
Oh!
Were you going to take him?
No!
Or you think he's horrible?
I think that he's on my I still have him ranked pretty highly.
Okay.
But of the running backs in that area, he's the one that gives me the biggest heebie-jeebies.
Oh, yeah, he gives me heebie-jeebies for sure. And this is really funny because, well, it was less than a month ago, Tags, right, where I was telling you, I can't believe you have Joe Mixon so high. What a fool. And here I am saying Joe Mixon can win your league. I've come around on him quite a bit. You watch him in the preseason. And this past week, he was not extremely impressive, but you can still see it. I mean, him receiving the ball out there, he looks like Le'Veon Bell all over again. Now, obviously, Cincinnati's offense is not Pittsburgh's offense, but I think Joe Mixon is going to get 300, 350 touches, perhaps, if he stays on the field. And if you, anytime you get that, especially when you're as talented as Joe Mixon, you can win a league.
I'm with this one. I mean, Mike, you can make the case. Like, I'm waiting to hear it because Joe Mixon, the way that they're using him, basically when I see him slotted out and put him in the slot, put him out wide, they understand what they have in Joe Mixon as a wide receiver. As a running back, their offensive line is still, I mentioned it already, I said that offensive lines, the continuity means a lot. So to know that they started rebuilding it is a good thing, but at the same time, with the new pieces on the offensive line, it's going to take some time for them to gel. So don't expect him to average, you know, 4.5 yards per carry. It's probably not going to happen. But the fact that they're using him as a receiver with John Ross in the field, with AJ Green on the field, that's massive because everything will open up underneath. I know Tyler Eifert's going to be out there. He could be somewhat of a decoy because Joe Mixon's a better receiver than Tyler Eifert. So I love the pick of Mixon as a potential league winner. Yes, there is some risk attached to him, and that's fine. But we're not talking about players who are the safest players in the draft. We're talking about guys who could potentially win your league. And if you get Joe Mixon at late second, early third round, I consider that heavily discounted from what his skill set actually is.
So wait, would you take him over Devontae Freeman, Jordan Howard?
I would. Yes, I would. And I recently have gone back and forth with him and Christian McCaffrey, and I know some people are going to be scoffing.
What?
Hold on a second.
I'm so glad that was your reaction, Mike. We have a bet between McCaffrey and Mix, and I've got McCaffrey. That's great.
We do, and that's the thing. So I want to know why people all of a sudden are willing to spend a first-round pick on Christian McCaffrey. First off, I think we all know that he's not like built to handle a giant workload. And if he is, even if he gets those carries, this offensive line lost their best interior offensive lineman from last year. By the way, Christian McCaffrey was like 3.5 yards per carry last year. They also have had three injuries in the offensive line this preseason, starting right tackle, starting left tackle, and I think another one of their guards got hurt. On top of that, he plays alongside Cam Newton, the best goal line back in the friggin' game. So the reason I don't like Christian McCaffrey in the first round is because here are the touchdown totals for Carolina running backs combined over the last 5 years.
This is why they drafted McCaffrey, though.
9 touchdowns, 11 touchdowns, 8 touchdowns, 5, 8. That's the entire team. Do you mean to tell me that CJ Anderson isn't going to come in and steal one or two? That knocks us down to like, okay, we're looking at 6 touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey's not a goal line back. And if you're thinking he's going to get all these targets, the 113 targets that he saw last year, I think you're wrong, because Greg Olsen coming back is going to affect his target share. DJ Moore operates underneath. He's a possession style receiver. They've said that Curtis Samuel has looked better. He's a second round pick from last year. Christian McCaffrey, guys, I'm telling you, I've been saying it all along. I have no issue with you taking him in the second round. None. But he is not going to win you your fantasy league.
I'm taking him over Alvin Kamara, and I will fight you over that.
Oh, that's disgusting. Get out of here.
Okay. What is happening on this this show?
McCaffrey's going to get over 100 more touches than Kamara this year.
I think they're bad touches.
Yeah, I agree. They are. They're going to be bad touches. But I like that you pointed out Christian McCaffrey's yard per carry, which was actually 3.7, which is 0.2 better than Joe Mixon was this past season. And I disagree on the targets. So here's my McCaffrey-Joe Mixon argument. McCaffrey, the proof of concept, it is done. It's over. We know that McCaffrey is going to get targets. The concern of will Cam Newton dump it off to his running back, that's gone. The concern of can Cam Newton be accurate throwing to his running back, that still exists very much. We aren't sure that Joe Mixon is going to get all of that receiving work. If Joe Mixon hits 500 receiving yards, I think that's what it takes for him to not bust at his draft value. Because I'm so skeptical of the Bengals, their offensive line, just their offense as a whole. Now, week three, they looked great, week three of the preseason. And then for McCaffrey's point, he didn't have Norv Turner as the offensive coordinator, where they're never taking him off the field. It was a full timeshare last year with Jonathan Stewart, and Christian McCaffrey was still a running back one with that amount of work. I'm not disagreeing with Tags that I think he's going to be inefficient running the ball. I've joined on. I'm fading everyone on the Panthers except for Christian McCaffrey. I have great concerns for Cam Newton making it through a season playing behind that offensive line, just with how many hits Newton has taken. I get it. He's Superman. He survived a car crash unscathed, but he's going to get hit a lot. And I don't know if he can hold up unless they're able to fix that offensive line.
Again, I do want to say this, though. The reason that I had that big rant about McCaffrey is because people are telling me he's a first-round pick. No.
He's not a first-round pick for me.
No, he's not.
I've got him number 13 now, guys.
I think he's in the tier with Mixon, with Freeman, with Jordan Howard. I think it's a clear tier that's behind a guy like Kareem Hunt, Leonard Fournette.
You'd rather have Kareem Hunt than Christian McCaffrey?
100%.
Yes.
Yes.
Why would you not?
Because Spencer Ware's back.
Oh!
Spencer Ware was every bit as good as Kareem Hunt before his concussion.
Yeah.
You think Kareem Hunt's going to get 90% of the touches from the backfield again?
Andy Reid's going to create an RB1. Like, I'm not drafting Hunt at number 7 or number 8 overall, like his ADP says. I have him as my number 9 running back. I wouldn't take him in front of Melvin Gordon or Leonard Fournette, which means I won't have any of him because people take him over those guys. But Andy Reid does have a bigger, in terms of, he's not going to get 90% of the carries again, but...
No, but 75? I mean,
yeah, he's going to be an RB1.
Last year, Jordan Howard, 73% of the running back attempts. Gordon was 74. Shady, 74. I mean, that's the normal range for a bell cow. Yeah, he's not going to get what he got last year, but Spencer Ware is still coming off of that devastating knee injury, and I think people are remembering the Spencer Ware year with rose-colored glasses because he was basically a free player. So you have fond memories of what he was able to do, which was fantasy production, because he was playing in Andy Reid's system. Kareem Hunt is a vastly, vastly superior talent at the running back position to Spencer Ware, and especially in his role in catching passes. They've said all offseason that's going up. So even if his carries go down by 30 attempts or whatever, if he gets bumped up 15 receptions, that's a complete wash, and maybe even more in Kareem Hunt's favor.
All right, Tex, who's your number two here?
Oh, I'm so lost in this. All right, so I am going to go with Mark Ingram. And I know it sounds boring, but it doesn't matter. Because, like, I was, again, working on this article, it kind of, like, made me go and look at non-ADP and just, like, what are you going to get out of a player, right? And by people getting Mark Ingram in, like, the fifth round is such a steal. And the reason it is because there's guys like Jay Ajayi going in front of him. Here's a fun fact. In 12 games, Mark Ingram, looking at his past few years, you're probably going to get 5 or 6 RB1 performances in that time, right? So about half the time he's going to perform as an RB1, about 75% of the time you're going to get at least RB2 numbers. Fun fact, Jay Ajayi has 4 games in his career where he's given you RB1 totals.
Wow.
None last year. Jay Ajayi is being drafted before him is a joke. Like, seriously, if someone takes Jay Ajayi before Mark Ingram in your league, just laugh and just say, thanks for the free money, dude. Seriously, that's what I would do.
They won't get a chance to because I'm taking Ingram early enough. Now, I won't take him if Royce Freeman's still on the board, but I love getting Royce Freeman as my number two, Mark Ingram as my number three, who's going to become my number one or number two. And those guys in the fourth and fifth round, man, you've got two workhorses.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Ingram, he's a free agent after this year. I could see Sean Payton using him up. They didn't bring in another workhorse. Jonathan Williams is going to fill in over the first 4 weeks, it seems. They've already said that Alvin Kamara is not the guy that you want to give 15 carries a game to. And I actually believe that. I don't think he is that guy. I think they want him to exceed and, like, excel in efficiency. And by giving him, you know, 15 to 18 carries per game, it's going to decline that. Keep him fresh. Mark Ingram's going to come back. And Mark Ingram, by the way, didn't even score any receiving touchdowns last year. So he actually has some positive regression coming on that front. So whereas Alvin Kamara is going to have some regression to the mean. So Mark Ingram is a very potential league winner where he's being drafted.
I want to clarify something, okay, before we get the takes here. Everyone's saying, well, why do you keep saying Alvin Kamara is going to have regression? Like, you're just saying that because you don't like Alvin Kamara. People.
Nope. I love Alvin Kamara.
Yeah. I have no problem with Alvin Kamara. He's not going to really get the touches, but he had a 7% touchdown rate last year. Le'Veon Bell's sitting at 2.5% for his career. That regression is coming, whether you like it or not. I'm not saying this because I don't like Alvin Kamara. I'm saying it because that's what history tells us. Nobody does what Alvin Kamara does. He's not even going to be at half the touchdown rate that he had last year.
You don't like Alvin Kamara, Bobby, because you would take Christian McCaffrey over him.
Well, that's because I love Christian McCaffrey. If you give Alvin Kamara Le'Veon Bell's career touchdown rate, and Le'Veon Bell, no one's going to pretend he's not a superstar, right? If you give him Le'Veon Bell's touchdown rate from last year, he's running back 8 or 9, man.
No, I get it, but he's going to be in for increased touches, and, like, that's what I said. He's going to get more touches this year. He didn't become a full-time player until Adrian Peterson was traded away. He was underused last year a little bit, like, especially earlier in the year. So, Mike, where are you at on this whole argument? Mark Ingram, league winner, Alvin Kamara, do you think that he's going to continue to deliver, like, crazy efficient numbers? Obviously, regression is going to happen, but where are you at on these two guys?
Kamara, the regression is going to happen, but he's still a top 10 running back for me. I would take him over Christian McCaffrey just based off of the offense, and I do buy in that Peyton is not going to overwork him. For us fantasy players, it felt like Alvin Kamara was underworked, but for the New Orleans Saints, who were one miracle away from making it to an NFC championship game, I think they feel pretty pleased with how they used Alvin Kamara this past year. And the one thing that worries me about Mark Ingram is he's coming back from a PED suspension. And we've seen many, many players who they finally get caught for the PED use. They come back. They aren't the player they once were. Now, some of those fears have been put to rest because Mark Ingram is dominant. He's been dominating with his preseason work. The other thing to factor in at least a little bit, I'm just playing devil's advocate for you here, Tex, because I love Ingram. I think he's going to crush too. But Jonathan Williams has been very impressive for the Saints. Mark Ingram is an elder statesman when it comes to the running back position. He is not under contract next year. Is there a world where they say, okay, we're going back to the three-headed monster and we're going to get even more usage out of Jonathan Williams, who, before people freak out, Jonathan Williams is not under contract for the Saints either. So this isn't a, they're going to groom him for the future because he's already set up with a contract. But we've seen the Saints go full three-headed monster before with Ingram, Pierre Thomas, Darren Sproles. This isn't out of the realm for Sean Payton. This is what he wanted with Adrian Peterson, except Peterson was washed, at least for their system and what they were hoping they could get from Adrian Peterson. So that would be my only concerns with Mark Ingram for a player you take into the fifth and you know you don't get those first 4 weeks out of him.
And for those who think that it's potential that Ingram comes back and the Sean Payton's mad at him and he benches him, I don't think that's going to happen either, because looking at his contract, they had an out in his contract. So after the suspension, they could have chose to cut him and only taken a $2.2 million cap hit. Instead, they're going to end up paying him $6.3 million this year, and then he's a free agent next year. So my take on this is that they're going to use him and kind of move on. They might draft a replacement running back next year. Maybe they see if Jonathan Williams is suited for that role. But when Jonathan Williams is getting cut from rosters and stuff like that, I don't know if he's a difference maker. So I just think that he's legitimately a depth piece. They have Shane Vereen backing up Alvin Kamara. They have Jonathan Williams backing up Mark Ingram. So again, Ingram is, I think, well worth his risk as long as you can find a running back at the end of your draft like Jonathan Williams to fill that spot.
It's just who gets the touches. Whoever, apparently aside from Adrian Peterson, whoever touches the ball in New Orleans is going to be a valuable running back. We had Tim Hightower was mentioned in this show because he came off of the street, hadn't played football in 2 years, plays for the Saints, and he's a beast.
Yes.
So it's more a matter of opportunity. If it goes back to Ingram Kamara, Ingram's going to crush.
Sean Payton is so good.
If it gets split to the three running backs, then there's going to be some sad pandas who drafted Mark Ingram.
It's a good call, Mike. Why don't you give us your second league winner here?
All right, my second league winner is Tags is going to like this one, because on our show on the Fantasy Footballers, this man is affectionately called Trey Boo Boo. You know him as Trey Burton.
Yeah, baby.
He is the tight end for the Chicago Bears. He was flashing that cash before he was flashing plays, because the Chicago Bears regime said, yeah, you're the guy. You're the guy who's going to be the move tight end for Matt Nagy's system. And I watched, he already looks the part. You have Adam Shaheen now, who he was kind of that one little piece of doubt that was creeping in to say, well, is Shaheen going to siphon enough tight end work off from Trey Burton to keep him out of that top five upside area? But now Shaheen is dealing with his bad ankle injury. The news on that goes a little bit back and forth too. We're not exactly, is he good? Is he out for the season? I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Adam Shaheen right now. What I do know is Matt Nagy took over play calling for the Kansas City Chiefs about with the last 30% of the games. In that time, Travis Kelce was averaging 9 targets a game. 9 targets a game to the tight end position. Trey Burton was hand-selected to play that role for this Chicago offense. Last year, we know that when Ertz is out for the Philadelphia Eagles, Trey Burton comes in. He's an easy streaming pick at the tight end position, 4 for 42, 5 for 71, and 2 touchdowns. Those are the 2 appearances of Trey Burton without Zach Ertz last year. He somehow is still going tight end 9. That is fabulous. Fabulous value.
I've got him tight end 5 now, guys.
And I don't blame you. I think I have him right around there as well. If you're going to take a middle round tight end, Trey Burton is not only safe, in my opinion, but has top 5 upside, which makes me declare that Trey Burton will be a league-winning tight end. Apparently, all I'm doing is league-winning tight end, so I'll find another one for you guys.
I think he's got top 2 or 3 tight end upside. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he finishes ahead of Zach Ertz. I mean, obviously, Gronk could get hurt, too. Travis Kelce hasn't exactly been the most durable tight end, so that kind of stuff happens.
No, so I obviously love the call. Trey Burton was on my list as well. He was my second tight end behind Gronk, so you're taking those right away from me, Mike. But so there have been 7 games in Trey Burton's career where he's played at least 30 snaps. In those games, he's totaled, in 7 games, mind you, 337 yards, 4 touchdowns. Over a full 16-game season, that would amount to 71 receptions, 770 yards, 9 touchdowns. That would have been the exact amount of PPR points that Zach Ertz scored in 2017. obviously he's going to play the exact same role in Matt Nagy's offense. You know, he's the going to that team. You know, it's always a struggle for most players going to new teams, but Mitch Trubisky has all new pass catchers, so there's no favoritism there. You know, they're all new, but he actually knows the offense. So when you look at Matt Nagy and the way that he's called plays, Matt Nagy, by the way, he took over the play calling duties from Andy Reid, who was struggling with them, you know, later on in the season. Matt Nagy took over from week 13 through week 16 with the starters. It's a 4-week sample size, so it's not massive, but it's a sample size. 37% of the targets went to tight ends in those 4 weeks. And the league average, guys, is below like 20%. So it just gives you an idea as to how Matt Nagy uses tight ends in his offense and how he's going to. And that's why they signed Burton so early in free agency. This is an easy one for me. Absolutely. With where you're getting him in drafts, he's an absolute potential league winner.
Guys, here's my my number two. And this one is also kind of like Joe Mixon, where I'm just eating crow by admitting that this guy is a potential league winner. It's Chris Carson. Chris Carson is going to be a workhorse, maybe a bell cow. Rashad Penny's 240 pounds. This offensive line is much improved. And have you watched Chris Carson play? I went back on Game Pass just to see, like, yeah, he's getting some hype. Let's go watch all his plays. This guy looks really good.
Mm-hmm. Every beat writer that went to Seahawks camp said that he is clearly the best running back on the team right now.
Yeah, I mean, I can't help myself. I've moved him well into my top 30. I'm taking him ahead of Sony Michel now, taking him ahead of Marlon Mack, Duke Johnson, Kerryon Johnson. Bring it on. I want Chris Carson on my team, guys.
Mike, you want to talk him out of this one?
Right now.
Okay.
Right now, you want Chris Carson.
You think 240-pound Rashad Penny's coming for the job?
I do. It's a long NFL season, and I think that Rashad Penny was a first-round running back for a reason. And Chris Carson, I agree. Chris Carson has looked like a type of running back that fans like to watch. He looks like a dude is just smashing people. You get a visceral reaction from watching Chris Carson. There's not much finesse happening, which reminds me a lot of their previous running back, Mr. Thomas Rawls.
Uh-oh, injury stuff.
Thomas Rawls became the new hotness. Thomas Rawls went from a nobody into all of a sudden he was a top 10 dynasty running back, and he did nothing. He did absolutely nothing because his body could not hold up to that. We're talking very small sample, but Chris Carson last year dominated the San Francisco 49ers. You know who else dominated the San Francisco 49ers at the running back position? Orleans Darkwa, a dude who cannot even get a job, dominated the 49ers. Adrian Peterson, who was traded away, and he only had a roster spot because of an injury mid-season, or, well, not mid, but beginning of the season of David Johnson. Adrian Peterson destroyed the 49ers. Everyone did. We all remember when you're picking your streaming running back of the week, it was, oh, wait, so who's playing the 49ers? So that's where I'm hesitant to be all in on Chris Carson.
I mean, I'm not all in to the point where I'm taking him like top 25 running backs or anything, but.
And I'm good. If you want to take Chris Carson in that 7-8 round range, he's going to give you games. I just strongly believe that by the end of the season, the league winner running back for that team will actually be Rashad Penny, because he will be the same thing as Alvin Kamara. He's dropping in drafts. People don't want him. He's not going to start. It's going to take time before he works in and can steal the job, or Chris Carson inevitably gets injured.
Tags, where are you taking Penny and Carson?
I'm probably not going to end up with either of them. There was actually a draft I took part in where it was an auction league, and someone actually got both Carson and Penny together for like $16. So it was actually a really smart strategy, I guess. But I do, at some point, I see this becoming more of a timeshare. I mean, if they really did, in fact, love Chris Carson, I don't think they'd draft Rashad Penny with the first round pick.
No, I don't get it. My entire argument against Chris Carson this offseason has been, I am giving the Seattle front office credit for knowing how to run a football team. And
that might be the wrong thing to do.
If it does, then the egg is on me. But I feel like my heart and my brain are in the right place of these guys have the job for a reason. If your solution at running back was someone you took with like the fifth to last pick in the entire NFL draft, and you come back and spend your first overall pick on a running back, then you should all be fired as soon as the season ends.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
All right, Tags, why don't you give us two or three more names and we'll pick one of them or agree with you.
All right, so I just want to throw this out here. I'm gonna set this one up. Some of the guys last year who were league winners, Todd Gurley, Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara, Deion Lewis, what do all of them have in common besides being running backs? They all played for a top eight scoring offense. So guys, I'm getting sick and tired of saying it, but listen to me when I tell you, Sony Michel, a three-down running back who plays for the Patriots, who have been a top six scoring NFL offense since way back in 2009.
Run the ball on the goal line way more than anybody else, not even close.
Yes, Sony Michel, he dropped outside the top 30 running backs recently because of all the news on his knee. And we've been talking about it on the show and saying that Rex Burkhead is talking about playing through a knee injury, that they're expecting to manage it. That's worrisome to me because it says that there's really nothing they could do about it and they kind of have to manage it. Sony Michel, it's clear what was wrong. They went in there, they did the small knee surgery. It's fixed. He actually returned to practice today. Sony Michel's back on the practice field today, which is really big because some people said the surgery may have kept him out to the beginning of the season. Getting back now is massive for his upside. And honestly, I was still drafting him even if he was going to be, if he would miss the first week or two, that's okay because we're looking for league winners. And when you get a guy like Sony Michel in the seventh, eighth round, it's such an easy pick for me, guys. You're taking running backs who are in timeshares at that point anyways. You're taking guys like Tevin Coleman. You're taking guys like Marlon Mack, Rashad Penny. That's where those guys are going. So to get Sony Michel in that tier, it's like, guys, this guy's upside is massive, and it's much bigger than those others I mentioned.
I was going to say Michel, too, or Royce Freeman, but I've already used both my running backs up. So I'll move on to wide receivers when it's my turn.
I like the take, Tags. The live show we did in Phoenix was our annual, you know, give the hot takes type of a situation. And one of my hot takes, which it may be lukewarm, it may be scorching hot, it depends on your perspective. But my four horsemen who were going to be league winners at the running back position are all the rookies. And the rookies that nobody wants right now. Rashad Penny, Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, and Ronald Jones. Even Ronald Jones is going to end up as a second-half running back that you want on your team. As much as I love Rex Burkhead, I'm fine calling both Rex Burkhead and Sony Michel league-winning running backs because maybe Rex can't hold up to all the way through the season, but I think he's going to give your team a huge advantage for a running back that's going in the fifth or sixth round, and then Sony Michel can just bring it home. While I don't like to invest multiple picks on multiple running backs from the same team, if you want to stack Burkhead and Sony Michel, I don't think that's a bad move.
Tag, did you have a few other names you just want to throw out there really quick?
Ronald Jones is definitely one I would have thrown out there as well. By the way, I just want to throw a stat as I do that. Ronald Jones, so PFF Bucks account, they have Ronald Jones has been contacted at or behind the line of scrimmage on 8 of his 12 carries this preseason and averaged negative 0.5 yards before contact. That obviously was the second lowest among running backs with 12 or more carries this preseason. So it's saying that Ronald Jones essentially had no chance to succeed behind the way the offensive line was blocking.
Does it have Barber's numbers?
I don't have it right here, but I actually plan on looking that up, but I saw it. But Barber had more. It was just Ronald Jones was getting hit behind the line of scrimmage on like every carry. Him, Amari Cooper, I know that you're mad and all that stuff, but he's a potential league winner.
That was my next guy. I should have not let you done this.
And Sterling Sterling Shepard. Those are the names that I wanted to mention. So you guys do what you will with them.
Shepard is the Adam Thielen of this year.
Yep, I actually agree with that.
Ooh, that's a hot take.
Well, they got the same. They got Pat Shurmur. Pat Shurmur loves those slot receivers, and Shepard I think is more talented than Thielen.
By the way, and people want to say that he's not like the reason for Thielen's breakout. That's not true because here's the stats I have for you guys. Thielen played 39 games before Pat Shurmur took over as the coordinator. Thielen totaled 45 receptions, 645 yards, and 2 touchdowns in those 39 games. Since week 9 of 2016, when Shurmur took over for Norv Turner, who is, by the way, very bad, here's Thielen's next 27 games. 135 receptions, 1,879 yards, 8 touchdowns. Pat Shurmur is the reason that Adam Thielen's a household name. Adam Thielen is talented. I mean, obviously, you know, it just took opportunity for it to show. I think everybody knows that Sterling Shepard is talented, making it work the last 2 years. By the way, he's the wide receiver 29, I think, in points per game over the last 2 years, but he's being drafted as the wide receiver 43 in a better offense. Something doesn't add up.
Yep. I agree with that one, man. Okay, Mike, why don't you give us a couple more names, and then I'll end us off.
Sure. I'm going to focus on one name because he's a running back who I made it. I made it through the offseason. I know what you're talking about, Bobby, where you hate a guy and then you got to switch your opinion, or you love a guy and then you got to switch your opinion once we actually see what is happening on the NFL field. This one was the lucky break where I loved him immediately. I thought the value was stupid, ridiculous, and he's climbed up the ADP charts a bit, still ends up as what I think is a great value at the running back position. And that is old man beast mode.
Yeah, baby.
Marshawn Lynch, running back for the Oakland Raiders. I want him on every single one of my teams. John Gruden, you got to look through the history books. You got to dust them off because it's been a while since he's been a head coach. But three of his final four seasons, top 15 in rushing attempts, top 15 in rushing yards, all the quotes. I'm trying to bring the game back to 1998. He's going to get a fullback up in there. No one wants a fullback on their team anymore except for John Gruden. He's all about that life. Last year in the final eight games, once they finally unleashed Marshawn, he was getting 19 touches a game in 135 attempts. He was averaging 4.6 yards per carry. Pro Football Focus has Oakland as the seventh best offensive line coming into the season. They restructured his contract. They took him from they could have cut Marshawn for nothing. He was zero guaranteed money. Instead, they changed that. He's making at least $4.5 million. He has payment incentives from 400 yards up. So once he's going over 400 yards, then he's making another $100,000 for every 100 yards he puts on the field. Marshawn Lynch is a smart dude, and Marshawn Lynch loves himself some money. He's going to be motivated. The offensive line is great. This is the first year ever that I'm in on Amari Cooper. I don't know if you remember tags. Last year when I was like, this is the year I freaking love Amari Cooper. He's in my top 12.
Top 12 wide receivers.
Yes.
Love it.
Me too.
Absolutely.
We might be alone, though.
And Marshawn Lynch, he's not in my top 12. I don't have him ranked there, but it will not shock me at the end of the year if Marshawn Lynch is, in fact, a top 12 running back.
He was in the second half last year. I'm with you. I've got Marshawn Lynch as my number one best value, the guy I want on every single one of my teams. And I've been making sure that I get him. I just think all the signs point to it. I've run through it multiple times. So
I'm not sure how I feel with all this agreeing with Bobby. I might have to redo some things.
Well, we'll see if you agree with my final one. It's Corey Davis.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Perfect. We're back to normal.
You don't like Corey Davis? Okay.
Nope. Yeah,
good deal. Everyone's excited about Taywan Taylor. He's not even getting on the field. He's been on the field like the fourth most of any wide receiver. It's Corey Davis. He's going to run the show. He's Brandon Marshall all over again. Tags, I love him, man.
Yeah, no, I like Corey Davis. I'm waiting to hear Mike's counterpoint on this one. It seems like the offense, they really, really want to go through him. And by the way, Delanie Walker did say he's going to be ready for week one, but it was a toe injury. They were in a practice with another team, and a player came down on his foot. I don't know, like, when you have toe injuries for tight ends, it's never a good thing when we hear about that. Delanie dealt with something like that last year, actually, if I'm not mistaken. And he was a little mediocre for a stretch there. So I don't know if he starts out the year slow, Corey Davis could, you know, turn it up and like become like a wide receiver one. I like it, man. Like if Corey Davis was being drafted as like a top 15 wide receiver, I'd be like, no, because there's other guys in that range, but he's being drafted around like the wide receiver 26. That's not a bad value for a guy that has the upside that he does. So I'm waiting to hear Mike's counterpoint here.
I think his draft price is fair because that's right about where I think that he will finish. And you're writing off Rishard Matthews too soon, who's actually a good wide receiver, and he is back with his super lucrative contract extension that will be worth nothing next year.
It's true.
I'm with you guys. Corey Davis coming into the draft season last year, he was my number one guy in Dynasty. I wanted him. I think he is just so great. He's an incredibly talented wide receiver. The problem lies with Marcus Mariota, who yet again was, man, not looking good, this preseason. It seemed like he was completely exposed last year. I know he was dealing with some injuries that he played through. So if you want to credit everything to the injury, all right. And then on top of that, it's, do you believe that Matt LaFleur and company can change this offense enough that there are that there's enough points and enough volume to propel Corey Davis into that top 15 area. So that's where I say I think his price is fine, because that's about the return I expect for fantasy value for Corey Davis. And there is some upside. I will admit there's upside built into him because of his draft pedigree and his talent and everything. But Delanie Walker is still the number one target in my projections for the Tennessee Titans. Rishard Matthews is actually good. Is Deion Lewis going to soak up more targets? It's a questionable situation. And on top of that, will the offense actually be good?
Yep.
Those are legit concerns for sure.
No, I had two other names I wanted to say, and I think you guys will probably agree with this one, because everybody seems to love Stephon Diggs this year. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he finishes in the top four wide receivers. I've got him top 12, no doubt about it. I've got him number 11. I've got Amari Cooper number 12. And then my other guy is John Kelly, and yeah, he doesn't have the job yet. There's no chance that he steals the job from Todd Gurley, but if Gurley was to get hurt...
Oh, Kelly's a league winner then. We're not trying to curse Todd Gurley, people. But if Todd Gurley gets hurt, as running backs do, then John Kelly, it's...
Would you immediately, like, rest of the season, if John Kelly was the running back for the rest of the season starting tomorrow?
He's top 10, easily.
I'd maybe put him top 5 or 6.
No.
Yes, I wouldn't put him top 5, but I'm going to go top 10. But let me ask you this. You're in a 12-team, half-point PPR. Todd Gurley goes down week 1. How much of your $100 of fab...
All of it.
100.
That's exactly my point.
I will find a way to cheat to get 101 if I have to.
that's my point of we all three of us clearly agree that John Kelly has the talent and then would have the opportunity to be a league-winning running back.
Yeah. I mean, it's like when Tags and I were telling everyone, hey, draft this Kareem Hunt kid. If he gets a chance, he's going to be the man. He's probably going to get mixed in too. And then Spencer Ware went down, and look what you have. You've got an RB1. John Kelly's the same thing, except I would say more so.
I think Rod Smith belongs in that conversation as well.
He looks awesome too, doesn't he?
Agreed.
Rod Smith is so underrated, and like, I mean, nobody's drafting these guys, so it's like someone you pay attention to. But if you have a league with deep benches, I have no issue stashing these guys at the end of your bench.
Yeah, you stash them guys, yes.
It's really a shame, by the way, that that Mike Boone might not even make the roster, let alone like isn't the clear-cut backup for some team. Because you watch him, and you were talking about Chris Carson earlier, and like one of these running backs you just love to watch. Mike Boone is Chris Carson with speed and agility. This guy's so fun. If you get a chance to watch a preseason game, just go watch the Vikings and see when Rock Thomas and Mike Boone are on the field, because they are such a joy to watch.
That's crazy. Hey, by the way, breaking news as we're wrapping up the show here. The Giants and Odell Beckham have agreed to terms on a 5-year contract extension worth $95 million.
Woo!
He's getting the highest guarantee ever for a wide receiver at $65 million.
Good for you, Odell. Good for you, New York.
Yes, yes.
Not being dumb.
Should definitely be celebrating that. Odell Beckham is a very, very talented player, and there is no way in the world that you should ever let him go.
Wow. They really need a quarterback, though. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, mistakes were made in the draft.
I think Pat Shurmur is going to show you guys that he'll be able to make it work with. And it's not to say that Eli Manning is going to be the guy for the future, because he's not. But I think that you're going to find out this year that Pat Shurmur will be able to make it work with a halfway decent quarterback.
Yeah, but just imagine if they didn't draft Saquon number 2 overall and they drafted a quarterback there.
I imagine them drafting a quarterback next year.
Yes. I don't know if their pick will be high enough.
Yeah, that's my problem, is they won't be in the top 5. They'll be too good. They'll be in the teens, where they're going to have to just, if you want to get up and get a quarterback, you have to mortgage everything and you have to be right.
All they have to do is trade Eli Manning to John Gruden and the Raiders. That's it. That's it.
I mean, I'm looking at this quarterback class next year, and it's not very exciting anyway. What do you have? Shea Patterson? And that's about it. I don't know if there's any other first-round quarterbacks there.
There's going to be someone else.
Maybe Clayton Thorson if he gets healthy for Northwestern.
That's the thing. There's going to be someone else, because I remember Cardale Jones was supposed to be like the number one pick before the season started, and like the things changed. So things will change. There will be some quarterbacks that are going to come out that we'll be impressed with. I don't get into that stuff until NFL is over, though. I'm 100% ready for NFL action. This is a fun show. And when you guys do your drafts, aim for these guys. Just do us a favor. Aim for these guys, because don't draft Isaiah Crowell.
You had to throw that in with Mike coming on the show.
Yeah, don't draft him, because that's good enough to finish like fifth place in your league. And I mean, that's even if he starts, and he's not, because Bilal Powell's better.
All right, guys, I've got the stat of the day to end out the show. And this one, I think I've mentioned it before. I don't think it's stat of the day, but there's so many new listeners at this time of year that I wanted to share it.
Repeat stat of the day.
It's about Kelvin Benjamin. Guys, I think he's a safe wide receiver three. There are only six receivers in NFL history who had as many yards and touchdowns as Benjamin did during his first two seasons. Randy Moss, Odell Beckham, A.J. Green, Marquise Colston, Larry Fitzgerald, and Isaac Bruce. Yeah, he was a turd last year. He got traded in the middle of the season. He was dealing with an injury. But he's the number one, the clear-cut number one on Buffalo, and this is a guy with talent who's looked really good in the preseason. I have no trouble getting Kelvin Benjamin in the 10th, 12th round and just being happy with him as my number four or number five wide receiver and playing him in the flex a lot of weeks.
I'm not...
Tags would rather have Devontae Parker.
I just got done saying at the end of the podcast that I wouldn't draft guys that are boring, even if it's... I mean, even if they're getting volume.
But he's not boring, man. He's got plenty of upside.
I think it's kind of boring volume. I think Josh Allen, I think someone said, who said it on the show the other day, is basically that that Kelvin Benjamin might get some targets that weren't even intended for him. Josh
that was so good. Such a good comment. I mean, he's been in the league 3 years now, and he's been a top 20 wide receiver twice.
No, I know. I'm not going to take that away from him. But I just think he's a boring start. And I think it's either even touchdown or bust with him, where it's like...
He's a roster clogger.
I feel like if he doesn't get a touchdown, I just don't know. I honestly think Buffalo's going to average like 160 yards passing per game.
They had -5 passing yards in the first half when he was the quarterback, didn't they?
I mean, I will be the first to admit Josh Allen has looked a lot better.
At times.
At times than I thought he would, but once that's against a defense.
4.8, guys. That's what his yards per attempt is this preseason.
Yeah. Enjoy those 4.8 yards per attempt, Kelvin. And that's what defense is not even trying to beat. Like, week one is going to be a rude awakening for Josh Allen if he, in fact, is the starter.
Is that who you're picking on in DFS? Are you picking on the Bills offense when you're looking for a DST?
Yep.
I think I'm going against the Chiefs, man. I think Pat Mahomes is going to be a turnover machine.
Yeah, but he will also score points.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, he's got the weapons to score points, but I feel like their defenses are going to be, you know, defenses going up against the Chiefs are going to be super cheap, and that's how you get, you know, those pick sixes. So,
well, that's the thing with Josh Allen, though. I do want to say this to defend Josh Allen. I'm not going to defend Josh Allen, like, ever again, but he's also set up for failure here, guys. Like, it's a bad offense. It's a bad offensive line. He doesn't have weapons. Like, so I'm not going to sit here and say that.
Well, not if it's cold outside. If it's cold outside, he's set up to win, man.
If it's cold, he's the GOAT. I mean, like, there's a reason that Buffalo drafted him, obviously, for the snow games and his giant hands.
Oh, so stupid. Okay, guys, that's all for today's show. Mike, thank you for taking the time to come on.
Yes, sir.
And I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, TeamStake.com, where you can get safe and secure transactions, fully customizable payment collection and payout distribution system at no charge. That's TeamStake.com. And also, I want to remind you to sign up for the Listener League that we have going on. Tags already did his Listener League. I'll be doing mine later this week. All you have to do is go to FantasyPros.com/ListenerLeague that we're doing through Sleeper app. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a pool full of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your pool's out kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand and stirring up trouble. If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.